Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Pulling it out, it all falls down. I'm telling you, it all falls down. Pulling it out.
Y'all can't handle the truth.
I'm telling you, it all.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
In today's world, as we see an increase in world conflict, we also see a rapid decrease in morality. In many ways, the world seems to be deteriorating and coming to a prophetic end. As biblical prophecies are being fulfilled, it appears that we are quickly approaching the war of Armageddon, the second coming of our Lord Christ, and the end of this present world. We welcome you to join us as we examine the scriptures to address these issues. That is, if you can handle the truth. Shalom, everybody. Most High in the name of Christ bless you. Welcome to another episode of our show, Can You Handle the Truth? And my name is Hashiyah, and with me is my brother, Aban. Aban, you want to say something to the people?
Hey, shalom. Hello to everybody out there. This is going to be a good class today, Lord will.
Yeah, Lord's will, definitely. As we said in the opening of the show, the title is "What Is the World Coming To?" And I know many people probably ask this to themselves, you know, in their regular conversation, because you know one of the things we'll mention is the decrease in morality, because you know, a lot of people say people will always say that the end of the world is coming. Yeah, that's true, but I think morality is at an all-time low. You know, especially you have women dressing like men dressing like women. Just a total confusion. You got intermarriage going on with the same-sex marriages going on and things of that nature. And the laws of God are being violated and not being adhered to at all. And in fact, the Bible is being pushed to the side, even in areas of the world where you would think that people would be dealing with the Bible. People who say they're Christian and Roman Catholicism or whatever title they may put on them, they still not dealing with the Word of God. Even though they put Christian titles on them, they still put the Bible to the side and act like what the Bible has to say is not important. And that's the main cause of the problem, is that the Bible, America, as we look at America, is supposed to be a Christian society, but are they dealing with the laws and commandments of God? The answer to that is absolutely not. The laws of the Most High is not being used in America. That's why they say there's a separation between church and state. So when they go to make their laws, they have nothing to do with the Bible, which brings total corruption. And that's part of when you look at ancient Israel, when it came time to dealing and setting up the government, the laws of the Most High was the foundation of the government. But this society, which claimed to be a Christian society, the laws of the Most High God has nothing to do with it. You have anything to say, add to that, brother?
No, brother.
Okay, I want to open up with a scripture, and I'm going to hand it over to you to go on the topic. This is 1 John, the second chapter. I'm going to start it off with this is 1 John 2, and I'm going to start at verse 15. 1 John 2:15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that does the will of God abideth forever. Right, the reason why I wanted to start with that scripture, because it's making a few statements about the world, and one of them being that everything that's going on in this world is wicked. And when it talks about the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, these are all things that men within their own hearts lust after. The whole world is structured. The whole structure of the world, whether you turn on the TV or you look outside, everybody's running after their lust, and the world is filled with that. And it also tells you that the world faded away. That's the key point I wanted to look at, meaning that it's not only fading away as growing old and the soil losing the richness and the nutrition level that was in the soil is completely depleting, but also the ozone is decaying away. You got the pollution level. The water is polluted. It's totally polluted. But also the people on the earth morally are just being lost and totally destroyed. So this world is coming to a close. So I put it in a nutshell. All right, brother, I'm going to hand it over to you.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. Okay. You loud and clear.
Is there an echo? I'm on my phone.
No, I don't hear an echo, brother.
Okay, all right. Well, let's go to Psalms 33. And you brought out a good scripture, bro. And the reason why we should believe what that scripture says is because it's right. Let's go to Psalms 33.
Okay.
And I'm going to read verse 4. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. That's it. You know, when the word of the Lord says that we shouldn't get into the things of the world because it's going to pass away, then that's right. If we really believe that there's a God in heaven and he sent his son to redeem us from our sins, then we have to believe that because his word is right. And everything he has done, does, and will do is done in truth. So there's no trick bag. There's no psych gotcha. You know, there's no deceit in his words. Okay.
Exactly.
Yep. Let's read verses 8 through 11. It says, Psalm 33, starting at 8. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. That's not going on too much today because, you know, instead of a beautiful sunset, we have, oh, well, you see the rain clouds made the, and then the, you know, the way the light refracted through the water in the rain clouds made it, you know, the evolution, the everything that the world is about is something to deny God and his principles and his word. But the scriptures say that we shouldn't do that, that we should stand in awe of him. Verse 9, for he spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. So, you know, all these people that don't believe in God, that have or that stand by science and say that, you know, listen, this is God, and means God doesn't exist, if you believe in a fairy tale, or they believe that whatever they want to believe that's not according to the word, that's going to come to nothing. Because the Lord said so. It's going to have no effect in that day when he, you know, when he wants it to. So let's read verse 11. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. So what is the counsel of the Lord? It's his word. And mm-hmm. it stands forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. So it's just because David wrote this, whatever, 1,000 years ago or whatever, doesn't mean that it's not in effect today, whether you believe it or not. And because it was to all generations, and it's non-changing. It didn't change when Christ came, because he was speaking the same words that were already written. That's why when people ask him questions, he would say, it is written such and such and such. It is written such and such and such. All right. So
let me add mm-hmm. something to that.
Mm-hmm.
What I wanted to add to that is 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, because that's a heavy point you're bringing out, because that is one of the key problems, like we were saying in the beginning, is that people have thrown the knowledge of God and his word to the side, and have decided to go into their own counsel, and not only their own counsel, but also listen to the counsel of men, and exalted the counsel of men above the counsel of the Most High. And that's one of the main problems. And because a lot of times you talk to people, and they'll be telling you, my pastor said, you know, my pastor said this, my pastor said that. Wait a minute, what about what God said? Or they'll talk about, scientists said, or professors said, you know what I'm saying? And they put the word of the Most High to a side, and what you have, utter confusion going on, utter confusion and perversion. This is 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, verse 20. It says, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. So the world, by all their wisdom and all the understanding they claim to have, they know not God. They have no understanding of God and the things pleasing to God. Even though they may say they're Christians, they may say they're popes, they may say they're bishops and deacons and whatever title they put on them, but when you look at the Bible and you look at what they're saying and what they're upholding, is contrary to God. Then you begin to understand why so much madness is going on, because people do not know God. And that's kind of what you brought out in the book of Psalms, where it talks about the people are not fearing God. But the Most High is going to bring their counsel to naught, like it says in Psalms 33:10. It says, the Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathens to naught. He maketh the device of the people of none effect. So all this stuff that people are believing in and they upholding, whether it be their pagan holidays, or whether it be their belief in science and homosexuality and all this other stuff that they believe in, all that stuff is going to be done away with. All their counsel and what people are upholding and think, think that it's of God and it's really not of God, is going to be extinguished out of the earth. There, brother.
Okay, yep, good point, bro. So now, when you know, because the wisdom of the world is not good enough. What do we do? Who do we consult? Where do we go when we want to find out what the counsel of the Lord is? Let's go to Isaiah 34.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to read Isaiah 34 and verse 16. Okay, Isaiah 34 and 16. It says, "Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. No one of these shall fail, none shall want her mate. For my mouth it hath commanded, and his spirit it hath gathered." So when we want to know what the counsel of the Lord is, what his words are, and what we should do in a situation, or how we should be, or what his standard is for how we should live, we have to seek out of the book of the Lord, because no one of these words shall fail. And you can't make up any of the words or precepts in this Bible with anything in any other book, because all that stuff is just philosophy and vain denominations and opinions.
Mm-hmm.
And the difference between that madness and the word of the Lord is the word commanded what's written in the Bible. Excuse me. The Lord commanded what's written in the Bible. And he put his spirit on the people, different people throughout time, to gather it into the scriptures as they are today for our benefit. So now, we're going to really start honing in on today's topic, which is what is the world coming to and how to be ready for it. All right? So now, what is the world coming to? Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Let me see here. 2 Timothy 3, I'm going to read verse 1. "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come." So peril is danger. So there's going to be dangerous times coming. Actually, they're here already, because Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 tells you that it was already the last days when Christ came. So it's been dangerous times since then, and it's getting just worse and worse and worse. And what is that leading to? So let's look at, we're going to skip around, but let's go to a Stand 2 Timothy. Let's go to chapter 4.
Hey, hold on, brother. Hold on 1 second. Were you coming back to this?
Yeah.
Were you planning to come back to this?
Yeah.
To the third chapter?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, go ahead.
Okay. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." So that's why it's dangerous times. Because, mm-hmm, you know what? We want to believe that Christ was born on December 25th, when actually that day has been known as not only the birth or rebirth of the unconquerable sun, but also Nimrod or Baal's birthday, the sun god worship. Oh, we want to believe that is righteous instead of looking in the scriptures and looking at that sound doctrine that cannot be shaken for what holidays we're supposed to celebrate. All right? And then what do? Huh. We love to hear stuff that's not according to the word. Our ears itch for it. And we go and we just, hey, you know what? Let's get somebody that that teaches what I like. That's why you hear a bunch of people say, "My pastor said," or "My imam said," or "My this person said," or "That person said," or "I read on the internet," because that's teaching you something whereby you don't have to correct yourself according to the word. That's like somebody that's living in a so-called alternate lifestyle, like a homosexual or lesbian relationship. They can say, well, listen, I go to this church, and that pastor there teaches me that I can be saved and get to the kingdom, and I want to go to that church. Why? Because you don't want to repent from the adultery that you commit according to the word. Because if, you know, that, I mean, that's why you go in there. You want to hear that. You want to hear that what you're doing is okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because you like doing it and you don't want to put it away. So you go and you seek out someone that's going to tell you that it's what? That it's okay. You know, and on this Blog Talk website, there's tons and tons of classes that you can look at where the brothers have went over people that teach things that other people go into their lust and they cleave to them because that's what they want to do. They don't want to hear the word of the Lord. They're going to turn their ears from that. And they're turned unto fables, which are lies, fiction, and madness. And then, because they're doing that, and they're having different people and different philosophies teach them instead of the word of the Lord, let's go back to 2 Timothy chapter 3.
Mm-hmm.
So, brother, you get that, because I know you wanted to go there. Did you go there? I don't know where you're going to start, but you get that.
Yeah, I wanted to read, I'm going to read one again. It says, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Like you were saying, you know, perilous means dangerous. Verse 2, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parent, unthankful, unholy. So the point I was hoping to, you know, I'd like to come out on that because it's telling you why the times are perilous. You know, just like, the scripture you were bringing out adds on to it because it tells you, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, which is basically going to men being selfish. You know what I'm saying? Lovers of your own self, and you want to fulfill your will. You know, whatever you want to do is what you want to do. You know what I'm saying? And if anybody try to tell you different, you're going to find a justification to do what you want to do because it's all about you. And covetous is backing that up because it's going into your lust. You want to fulfill your lust. If you want to steal, you want to steal. If you want to be a fornicator, you go out and be a fornicator. Boasters, proud, blasphemer, disobedient to parent, unthankful, unholy, all adds on to that. You know what I'm saying? Individuals just don't want to serve God. They want to be proud. They want to do what they want to do. And then they want to say they're serving God and find a justification to do what they want to do. They want to continue following pagan holidays. You know, they want to continue in the lust of their own flesh. And they don't want to be obedient to what God says. And that's the bottom line. That's why the times are dangerous. That's why you got stealing going on. That's why you got killing going on. You know?
Yep. Did you read verse 3?
No, you want me? I'll keep reading.
Yeah, read on. Okay, I'll read it. Go ahead.
Right. Without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Verse 4. Traitors, petty, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God.
One more.
One more. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away.
Wow.
Saying a lot, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. But that's like you were saying, that's why it's so much danger because the people living in the world, especially the people that the word was given to and their descendants, have turned 180 degrees away from the from what the word says. And the basic thing that's in the world is mentioned in verse 4, where it says lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. So
exactly.
What is the theme of what? And it's been since ancient times, but it's really, really pounded and I'm going to say ground and pound, but pounded and grounded into people's heads from day one is do what you want. Do it till you're satisfied. The whole of the law is do as you want. That's
yeah.
all you need to know. Whatever you like to do, there is a place, usually in the city where you live or somewhere else on the earth where you can do it.
And that's what makes it
a dangerous place. Like, I'll give an example. Usually, if you want to, you know, go into your anger where, you know, you being selfish and stuff, whatever, and you end up killing somebody, you can basically hang out in any neighborhood that our people live in. But isn't there certain cities that's just known for that? Like, one city recently been in the news for the last couple of years, Chicago. They're killing people like it's going out of style. Because that's what they want to do. If they didn't want to do it, if the people that lived there didn't want to do it, it wouldn't be known as the murder capital of the country. Right?
Yeah.
But it's also other places on, you know, where you can go do what you want to do, because that's the doctrine of this world. Go ahead.
And you know what's so sad about it too, because one of the things we was talking about during Sabbath class is that you can see a lot of people in religious institutions such as Christianity saying that the laws of God are done away with. Now, anytime somebody's telling you something that's going to turn you away from salvation or turn you away from following God, it's a doctrine of Satan. So anyone that's pushing a doctrine that the laws of God is no longer in order or no longer to be kept, that's a doctrine of Satan. Because the problem with the world, the reason why we have perilous times is because people are not following the commandments of God. Because the commandments of God will shut all that down. And that's something else I want to look at. Like in verse 3, it says, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers. This is something that's very prominent in this world. I'm going to give you an example. Like for me, I was a correction officer. And what I see going on a lot in the prison system, and you know, and people that deal with police officers see that going on a lot, or deal with people in general, is false accusers. People writing false statements because somebody did something they didn't like. You know, they'll lie on somebody just to get them have punishment come upon them, or lie upon them in court. You see that happening so often, where people falsely accusing people, and that those false accusations also happen out in the world where you see somebody get killed for it, or individuals get into a fight because somebody said something that they didn't. Somebody said that somebody said something that they didn't say. So that false accuser is a big thing, man. It's not something lightly, but people don't even understand that when they're doing this, they're doing something that's evil in the eyes of God. That's very wicked and evil in the eyes of God to false accuse somebody. Matter of fact, that's what was done to Christ, you know.
Exactly.
And without natural affection, because do you have any type of care or concern from your fellow man when you lie on them, or when you do something to hurt them, or, you know, when you tell a woman that you committed to her and you go out and you lay with another woman, you know what I'm saying? So all these things without natural affection, that you don't have a care for the people that you come in contact with on a daily basis, or the people that are in your life, do you have any natural affection for your friends and your wife and your children?
Mm-hmm.
These are things mm-hmm. we see constantly going on, and it's like, wow, how can people do this?
Exactly.
Hurt one another in such a devastating way and understand that they're doing things that's evil in the eyes of God. People really don't even believe in God.
Exactly. That's what it's talking about in verse 5, you know, because of it, you know, because of their high-mindedness, their pride, you know, don't want to take corrections. They got it all figured out. But then they'll say, well, you know what, I'm spiritual. Or I'm this, or I'm that. You know, so they can claim, or some people even go so far as to show a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof because they're going into their own lust, and they're living not according to the word of the Lord. I give you an example. About 7 or 8 years ago, most people in the world thought that Eddie Long was a man of God. Right?
Yeah, a lot of people still do.
Yeah, you know, but when he got caught up in that scandal and he was, what, doing something that the Bible, Old and New Testament, speaks against, but not only that, he was committing adultery in more ways than one. You know,
yeah.
He was with homosexual relations. He was committing adultery against the Most High by going outside his marriage. You know, so, but what? He denied the power that form of godliness. He should have been not getting into those things that he did, because what? The scriptures speak out against him. The word speaks against it. But hey, you know, he don't want to be down with what the word says. He still has the chance to repent from that, you know, so that. We're not here speaking about him to condemn him, because while he still has breath in him, he has a chance to repent. You know, but that's between him and the Most High. But his track record is of a person that is, the scripture said, we should turn away from, because he is not dealing with the word of the Lord.
That's a good point. That's a good point, because now think about this. Because he had a mega church. And as a matter of fact, probably still has a mega church. So how many people are following this man and not being properly instructed on how to follow God? Because that's what he's supposed to do as a bishop. He's supposed to be leading his congregation into following Christ. But
exactly,
that's not what he's doing. That's why, as a matter of fact, I'm going to jump back and I'm going to read... Chapter 4, uh-huh. verse again, where it says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Because the mm-hmm. sound doctrine is the Bible. Now,
exactly.
How could this man possibly be teaching the Bible and trying to lay with young men in the congregation when the Bible tells
exactly.
you that? You know, what did you say, brother?
No, I said exactly.
Yeah, because he'll be a hypocrite. So, you know, I listened to, there've been times I listened to his different sermons before he got busted the way he did. And he wasn't teaching the scriptures the way it's supposed to be taught. He wasn't teaching repentance. And a lot of these other mega churches are doing the same thing. They're not teaching the people on what they need to do to please God. You know, and he even had, what's his name? T.D. Jakes. Creffro Dollar come out and speak on his behalf. You know, he came out and spoke on his behalf. Like, he just made a, I forgot the word he used, but basically just made a little mistake.
Yeah, he had
and,
a wreck.
Yeah, he just had a wreck. There you go. And that he's all right with God. But when you look at the Bible, these things are not acceptable with the Most High God. And
yeah.
definitely acceptable for somebody that's leading a congregation.
Exactly. Exactly. Hey, bro, let's go to Isaiah right quick. Because you're bringing out a very, very good point. And It's basically the same thing that the scriptures are saying. Isaiah 8, verse 20. It says, to the law and to the testimony. So what is the law and the testimony?
The Bible.
Oh, yeah, but the word is going to say it. To the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. And we all know in John 8 and 12, 8 verse 12, rather, that Christ is that light.
Mm.
And you know what? We look at his example. He always referred back to what was written, the words that was written, to the law and to the testimony. And let's think of a couple examples. Ahab was a wicked dude, and he had a wreck. But what was the result of him having a wreck? The result of him having a wreck was him and all his children bombed. Because he was so terrible, his lineage could not go on. Okay, so if we're going to go according to the word, we have to go according to the word. Now let's look back in the New Testament at 1 John chapter 2.
This is 1 John, what chapter is that?
1 John chapter 2.
Okay.
And I'm gonna read verse 22. Who is a liar? Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. So we gotta look at this. What did Christ always quote from? And what was the words that he was speaking? It was according to the law and the testimony. So if we're not going according to the law and the testimony, which are the words of Christ, and following his examples, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 and 22, doing no sin, transgressing not the law, all right, using his example or by his word, if we're not doing that, we are denying him. And we are what? An antichrist.
Mm-hmm.
We're antichrist because there is no gray area. Okay, there is no, well, you know, I only messed up a little bit. We have to be ready and be right when he comes back. And to show you that the scriptures say that there's no gray area, let's go to James chapter 1. And I'm going to read verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So there is no gray area. Like he said in the Old Testament a lot, don't go to the right hand or to the left. Stay according to the word. So when people don't do that, hey, you know, that's why the earth is the way it is. The world is the way the world is. The world is the way it is today because people are going to the right hand or to the left or seeking out that gray area or heaping teachers to themselves according to their lust because they have itching ears. They want to hear something. You know, actually, What does the brother W.I. say all the time? That's why the hood is the hood, right?
Exactly.
People are obeying the word of the Lord. Okay, so let's look at this is what the world is, but what is the world coming to? Let's look at Luke 21. And it doesn't really, you know, take a gigantic, deep dive into Revelation to understand what this world is coming to. You went into it in the first scripture in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 and 16, at the beginning of this class. You know, but let's see. Let's read Luke 21. Let's start at verse 8. It says, "And he said," this is Christ speaking, "take heed that ye be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. But when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. Then he said unto them, nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in diverse places, and famines, and pestilences, and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven." Okay? So that's what's coming in the end. That's what the world is coming to. These are signs that, listen, this is, whoa, this is happening. And this is a sign that the end is coming. All right? Mm-hmm. Do you know, like, for the last several years, there's been, like, 3 or 4 earthquakes a week, at least?
Oh, wow.
All these things. What did you say?
So I wasn't even aware of that.
No, yeah, there's been, I think they don't report them if they're, like, under 4 or 5 or something like that. I forget what it is, but I saw an article on a news service a few years ago, and then they quoted a guy from, like, the earthquake administration, or, you know, because they got a government administration that checks on it. He's like, all around the world, there's a couple earthquakes a day and several, you know, medium-sized one a week, and it's been going on for a long time. It's been going on a long time. And we know that, you know, there's always wars and commotions. I mean, there may be another war tomorrow with all the stuff that's going on with, you know, that you see in the news, you know. But it says all of this stuff is going to happen, but the end is not yet, when it says the end is not by and by. So all of these things are going to happen as the world comes to what it's going to come to, all right? But now, what does the scripture say in verse 9? It says, "But when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified." So we're not supposed to be scared of this stuff when it happens. We're not supposed to be scared of this stuff when it happens, right? Okay, let's read verse 25 on down, and it's Luke 21. I'm going to start at 25. "And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring." So that's been happening. That's been happening. People see, you know, seeing all types of things. Like, oh my God, it's another eclipse, and all this, and then, you know. But what did the scriptures say? Don't be amazed at the signs of heaven, like the heathen are. They're amazed by these things because they don't believe. That's why they're heathen, and that is Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 1. So.
Yeah.
You know, Luke 21, verse 26, "Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken." So you got people giving up, people committing suicide, jumping off bridges and stuff. You know, it's crazy, because when you don't believe and you don't understand what these words say, because you're not seeking out of the book of the Lord and reading, then guess what? You're going to see all these things happening and not understand what they are and be fearful. You're going to be scared.
Yeah.
Right?
Let me say something real quick.
Yeah, go ahead, bro. Go ahead.
That's a very interesting scripture, too, where it talks about, I'm going to read it again, verse 25. And it says, there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the seas and the waves roaring. That perplexity is showing that the problems that these nations are having, the problems that they're confused about the problems because they don't know how to solve these problems. You know, like
exactly.
How many different treaties they done signed over there in Israel and Palestine, between Israel and Palestine?
A lot.
And the problems are still going on. Then you got the United States over there in Iraq. They done went over there and took over. But what's going on now? They say you have this other group. They call them Sunnis, but they had a name, ISIS, that's
mm-hmm.
taking over. The government that the United States set up, the puppet government that they set up, is being taken over.
Mm-hmm.
Then you got stuff going on in Ukraine and between Russia and the things that are going on. They confuse them about what to do. What are we going to do about these problems? Even here in the United States, you have the economy is all jacked up, and they don't know how to what to do about it. They have no answers for these problems. They're confused.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have no answers
mm-hmm.
for these problems. So we see this. We see the scriptures being fulfilled.
Exactly. That's what it is. And we shouldn't be fearful. What we should do about it is, I'm not going to say it. I'm going to let the scriptures say it. I want to go to 2 Peter chapter 3.
Okay.
Let's see what is the world coming to. What's going to happen? Because a lot of stuff already is happening, but it's leading up to, like they say in music, to a crescendo. You know, it wasn't as earthquakes weren't as much way, way back in the day. Now it's more and more and more and more. The problems, the economies, the murders, the everything, it's all building up to like a head, to like a giant bubble, and like it's ready to burst, because you look at,
mm-hmm.
like I give you an example, homosexual marriage and alternate lifestyle equality, as they say. It was people, pushing that stuff in the 40s and 50s, they were just getting straight up killed, they were just disappearing. But as you go on and on and on from then till now, it's that thing has become more and more out in the public and more accepted. That's something that's building up to a crescendo. The murders and all the things that we just read in 2 Timothy 3. Men being lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. People being heady, high-minded. Without natural affection, that's how somebody can you never heard of somebody that's being in a, just getting attacked and people standing around watching it or filming it and uploading it to YouTube or Worldstar Hip Hop. You never heard of that 34 years ago. People would always go and try to help the victim. Now you got people, standing around, it wasn't me. I don't care. It didn't happen to me. But that's that without natural affection.
Yeah, exactly.
Another example of it, And all this stuff is all building up to a crescendo, but what is it building up to? I want to go to 2 Peter 3. I'm going to read verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come. That is what it's building up to. That is going to be at the end of the crescendo.
Mm.
But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. So there's no, you can't look at some Mayan calendar and determine when the day of the Lord is going to come. It's going to come as a thief in the night, meaning you're not, you don't know when it's going to come. If you knew what time of night the thief was going to come, he wouldn't be a thief. He'd be a convict. He'd be arrested. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So and you don't know when it's coming, but it is coming. So it's going to happen. I'm going to read the verse. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burnt up. So I know, you know, maybe I'm being a little too old school, but I remember they used to have these wooden matches back in the day. And when you lit one up and it burnt down all the way, it was like, you know, what was left was just a burnt up charcoal looking little remnant of what it was. That's what the earth is going to look like.
Mm.
See, because everything that's in the earth, the mountains, the steel, the concrete, if we get caught out there, are made up of elements. And all the elements shall melt with fervent heat. So this earth, this system of things, is going to be destroyed. Let's read verse 11. Because there is a way for us to survive this and not be affected by this. Just like when Christ said, listen, you know, men's hearts are going to fail them for fear by seeing all these signs. But listen, you don't be perplexed or scared by this. You know, he was talking to those that believe him and that follow him according to as it is written, according to his words. Okay? Verse 11 of 2 Peter 3. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness?
Mm.
Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. So there's a way for us to escape this coming impending destruction. We have to be holy, and we have to be godly. Right? That's what, didn't the scriptures just say that?
Yeah, verse 11.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, exactly. Okay, so we now know, and it says this in verse 10 and verse 12. It says this several other places in the Bible. So we now know what the earth is coming to. We now know why people are being wicked and evil, and it's getting worse and worse and worse, because the Lord put the Spirit on people, the holy men of God, to write and prophesy that this is what would happen in the last days, and that this is what the world is coming to. So it's coming to a destruction. Everything is, the first time when the Lord cleaned the wickedness off the earth, he did it with water. He said he's never going to do it again. This time he's going to use fire. Okay?
Mm.
So, now, how to be ready for what's coming is in verse 11 of 2 Peter 3. We ought to be holy. We ought to be in all holy conversation and godliness. Let's look, let's look at what holy is according to the word of the Lord. Let's go to Numbers 15.
You said Numbers 15?
Yep, Numbers 15. Okay. Numbers 15, verse 40. It says, that ye may remember and do all my commandments and be holy unto your God. That ties into with Isaiah 34:16 and Isaiah 8:20.
Mm.
You know, because that's how we get holy, especially when we go by the example and only, not especially, but only by the examples of Christ and how he obeyed all the commandments. All right? Now let's look up what godliness is. Let's go to Matthew 5. And verse 48. Okay, Matthew 5, verse 48. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. So, for us to be godly, we have to be perfect, right?
Yeah.
That's interesting. So, do you know what makes us perfect?
What
you know what that scripture is? Huh?
Following the Lord and Savior, Christ.
Exactly. Exactly. Let's go to Psalms 19. Psalms 19, verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. So it's going back to the law and the testimony that we have to live according to have that light in us. That light is Christ, John 8 and 12. Telling us is that we have to search and dig into these Bibles, into the Bible, and we have to change from all of our sins and all of the things that, like in 2 Timothy 3 and 2 Timothy 4 and elsewhere in the Bible that's wrong, that we do. We have to change from that. And we have to get right and follow Christ's examples and be lockstep living just like he would live or has lived in the world. And that's how we can get through that.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have anything?
Yeah, I like the scripture you just read where it says the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. What kind of clicked in my mind when you was reading that is how in the beginning we were speaking about how majority of the people of the world are just following following men, following their pastors, following the scientists, following the politicians, you know, whatever they say, they following it. But when you look at the scripture here, it talks about making wise the simple. Those people that just follow these men are simple. And the more words of the Most High is where you find true wisdom and understanding. An example I found in myself is when I started reading the Bible, and I would look around the world, and I was like, wow. Everything that I have been taught and all I have been believing in being right is totally contrary to what I was reading. So
exactly.
I found myself as being simple because I thought I knew God and I thought I understood things that were pleasing in the eyes of God, but yet I had no understanding at all of what God was all about and what God liked and what God disliked because I was going on what I heard. But when I went into the Bible, I found out that what I heard was wrong. It was just a tale. You know, like we read in 2 Timothy about giving heed to feebles.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
That's what I was doing. So I was simple. But once I started reading the scriptures and learning the words of the Most High and what was truly right and what was truly wrong, then I started to gain wisdom and becoming a wiser individual and no longer simple. And that's what people need to do in this world is really sit down and open up the Bible and read it. It's not going to help you sitting on the shelf or sitting in your living room open to a certain chapter. You have to open it up, read it, and apply the scriptures to your life. And but I want to take a quick promo before we continue.
Yeah, go ahead, bro.
Because we are running short.
Yeah.
All right, we'll be right back, brothers and sisters.
The Body of Christ Church Radio Network broadcasts 7 days a week on blogtalkradio.com/theBOCC. Listen to our archive broadcasts or check us out while we are live on the air. Come and visit us in the virtual living room at 2 o'clock p.m. on Sundays, where we examine current topics according to the scriptures. Are you looking for the truth? Can you handle the truth? Find out on Mondays at 8 o'clock p.m. It doesn't matter what church you attend or philosophy you believe, take the challenge to see, are you smarter than your pastor, on Tuesdays at 8 o'clock p.m. The world will be roasted in darkness, but it shall be destroyed by the light. Check out From Darkness to Light at 7 o'clock p.m. on Wednesdays, where all manner of witchcraft, occult practices, and Satanism is exposed for what it is. Before the light comes, it's time to awake on Thursday at 8 o'clock p.m. If you are seeking salvation, listen to Repentance is the Key, Fridays at 7 o'clock p.m. And after you've listened to all of these shows, find out how we will become kings and priests, Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock a.m. All shows are on Eastern Standard Time. Remember to check out the Body of Christ Church 7 days a week on blogtalkradio.com/theBOCC. That's blogtalkradio.com/THEBOCC. Shalom.
Yeah. I was trying to holler at you, but I just got a message up. My mic is on. I don't know how it's on because I got it muted, but. I don't know.
Connect with the Body of Christ Church on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. You can like our Facebook page at facebook.com/theBOCC. Follow us on Twitter @TheBOCC and view our videos on youtube.com/TheBOCC1. Link with us to learn more about repentance and salvation according to the Holy Bible. Remember what Christ said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." We pray that the information on our pages guide you towards true repentance to the Heavenly Father in the name of Christ. Shalom.
Hey, shalom, everybody. Welcome back. We're going to continue with the topic, what is the world coming through to? Brother Bond, you still there?
Yep, I'm here, bro.
Okay. I had a little problem there for a second, but I'm glad you're here.
Okay.
All right, go ahead, brother.
Okay. I'm glad to be here, bro. All praises. So now we done went over, you know, what is the world coming to? And now we're going to get into, like, how to get and how to be ready for it, how to get ready to be ready, you know?
Okay.
Anything you wanted to bring out before we move on?
No, you go ahead.
Okay. So let's go back to 2 Peter 3. I'm going to read from 10 again. 2 Peter 3, verse 10. "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burnt up." So that's what the world is coming to.
Yep.
Verse 11. "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness.
Mm.
Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for these for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. So that's how we can get through this, what the world is coming to. We have to make sure that we put hard work in, well, that's what diligent means. We have to make sure that we put hard work into changing ourselves so that we may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. So,
you know what?
That
scripture is so very powerful.
Uh-huh.
Because what people would read that scripture but don't really understand how deep that scripture is.
Uh-huh.
Because peace, that word peace, man. Let me get a quick scripture real quick, brother.
Go ahead.
This is the same book you're in, 2 Peter, the first chapter. I'm going to jump to verse 2, right? It says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ. Now, the reason why I read that scripture, because it made a very powerful statement that go along with the other statement. It said, grace and peace be multiplied through the knowledge of God. Because a lot of people in this world are not in peace. They're having warfare, having drama with their friends, they're having drama with their children, they're having drama with their wives, and they can't find peace. The only peace they might find is in drugs. But the peace that the scriptures is talking about is something that comes from the application of the scriptures. From the application of the scriptures is guiding us and showing us how to establish peace in our relationship. How to establish peace in our house. You know what I'm saying? So when you read here and it says that in 2 Peter 3:14 says, wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace. So the way we will be found in peace is meaning that we will be applying the scriptures in our life. We be applying the scriptures in our relationship. We're not going to be dealing with anger. We're not going to be dealing with hatred. We're not going to be dealing with vengeance and grudging. All these things we see going on in this world is why the death rate is so high. All these things we see going on in this world is why the jail cells, the jailhouses are full. And is why people are having problems and divorces and things going on. But the Bible is showing us and guiding us in that peace. So when it says we'll be found in peace, that means we're going to be applying these scriptures that are showing us on how to deal with one another in relationships. And that's the thing, we don't even see that, we don't even see those instructions going on when we listen to these different pastors and preachers and bishops. All we see going on is, let me get in your pockets. And another thing it says, without spots, meaning the spots that the scriptures talking about is the sins, the things that the scriptures are speaking against. We're not going to be partaking in these things. And it goes, and blameless, meaning the Most High is going to be able to come to us and say, look, right here, I command you not to do this thing right here. I command you not to be in idolatry. Why were you serving Christmas? You're not blameless if you're serving Christmas. You're not blameless if you're in the Easter and things of that nature. You're not blameless if you're holding a grudge. You're not blameless if you're instigating a fight. You know what I'm saying? And you're not in peace. So I wanted to highlight the point.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people need that. Do they really understand the peace that we're supposed to be in when we apply the scriptures? And the peace that the world will be in if they apply the scriptures.
Exactly. So that without spot, bro, you know, think about your clothes. Like if if you, you know, let's say you got on a nice shirt, you know, and, you know, you're driving down the street in your car or something, or you're riding down the street in your bike, and it starts making a funky noise, you know, whatever. Yeah, okay, wait a minute. You pull over, you get off your bike, you take a look at it, you know, or you get out the car and, you know, you pop the hood and you look underneath the hood or whatever. And let's say you reached in something and you touched it and you got a stain or a spot on the sleeve of your shirt. What do you do to get rid of that spot? You clean it. You put some detergent or you put a cleaning solution on that, and you clean it so that it looks normal, so you're not walking around with a spot on your shirt, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the same way our minds have to be cleaned from the sin that we do. So I want to go to another scripture right quick. I want to go to Psalms 119, verse 9. Okay, and that scripture says, wherewithal, meaning how, wherewithal shall a young man choose his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word.
Mm.
It's going back to what the scriptures, as we have been saying in the scriptures all along, we have to take heed to these words, make them our life, get really, really good, get perfect in living according to them so that we can survive what the world is telling us. It's not rocket science. Okay? So, now, what do we have to do? Let's go. I want to look at Ephesians 5 right quick.
Okay.
And then, if you don't have nothing, we'll go to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 5. I'm going to start at 14. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee life. So, what is that talking about? You know what? If we stay living the way we've been living, without the words of Christ, we are as good as dead. We are sleepwalking right through our existence, and then going to be nothing resulting from that but death. Okay? So we have to awake from that. We have to come out of that madness that is in the world. What? The lovers of pleasures, more the lovers of God, the truth breakers, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, the going and heaping teachers to yourself based on what you like to hear and not based on what the word of the Lord is. We have to come out of that. And we have to come, basically arise from that dead state. And what? Christ will give us light. Right? So now, verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. So that walking circumspectly, you know, we gave an example earlier about murder. And, you know, we have to understand, like, okay, you know what? If I was a murderer and I wanted to change, I have to do things that keep me from leading into going into the act of murder. So if I know that my anger, or I understand that my anger drives me to that point, I have to learn to control my anger so that I will not have the consequence of murder. just like there are other lusts and desires that we have to learn to control so that we will have a good consequence or a good conclusion of the matter. That's what it's talking about when it says walking circumspectly. Not as fools, but as wise. So not as somebody that's simple and just caught up in that dead state, just going according to their lust, but as wise. And we use the words of Christ to convert us from that simple, foolish state, not caring about consequences. Ain't no shame in my game. YOLO. You know? But we convert from that simple state to a wise state. Verse 16. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So, redeeming the time, what? We trying to get back and save ourselves from this untoward generation that's going to be destroyed. Because that's what the scriptures call it. It's an untoward generation. We ain't the world ain't going towards the Lord. The world is going far as it can away from the Lord as possible. Mm. And we have to redeem ourselves from that. Because these days are evil. It is so much evil in these days. It's what did Christ say in Matthew? Seek ye first the kingdom of God, because the days are evil enough for themselves. You don't have to be that way. Okay? But we have to understand what the will of the Lord is. The will of the Lord is that he's going to take and destroy the wickedness off of this earth and out of these heavens and make a new heavens and new earth. And we can survive that into that kingdom that he's going to set up that's going to be righteous if we live according to how he said we should from the beginning. So that's his will. If we understand that and that's what we want, then we got to get with the program. That's all. That's all it is. That's it. So did you have anything?
Yeah, I wanted to add something. Every time I read this scripture here, there's a scripture I like that goes with this. Verse 14, where it says, wherefore he said, arise thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Because what people have to realize is we can't take the things that we are doing that's against God lightly. We have to understand that these things are of Satan. You know, so when it says, seeing then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, you know, as you was bringing out, if, when you're in the world and you're not realizing what you're doing, you are a servant of Satan. And this is a quick scripture to back that up. This is Acts 26 and 18. It says, to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sin and an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. So when it talks about open their eyes, they are asleep, but it's talking about open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. So that darkness is Satan. It's just like it tells you in it talks about, what was that, Ephesians, the first chapter, the second chapter, where it talks about the children of the power of the air.
2 Corinthians 4, blinded by the prince of the power of the air because they don't understand the doctrine. I can get it. Right quick. Here it is, 2 Corinthians 4. I'm going to start at 3. Actually, you know what? It's not that one.
What I was talking about.
Prince, you're talking about Ephesians 2.
Exactly.
1 and 2. Yep, there it is.
Ephesians 2 and 2.
Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience.
So there it goes. It's telling us that when we not operating according to the words of the Most High, we think we just, well, I'm just having fun. Well, I'm not hurting nobody. No, you are being a servant of Satan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the scriptures is very clear on that. There's only two masters out there. Either you're serving God or you're serving Satan.
Yep.
So if you're doing something contrary to the word of God and think you're fine, you're okay, you're not hurting nobody, you're not this, you're not that, no,
mm-hmm.
you are being a servant of Satan. You being in darkness and not wanting to deal with the word of the Most High, because everybody was created to follow. You was created to follow the Most High God, like the scripture you brought out in Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter, where it talks about, for this is the whole duty of man, you know, to fear God and keep
yeah.
his commandments. So
yeah, exactly.
If you think you're not going to deal with God and you're going to do what you feel like doing, okay, yeah, you're not dealing with God, but you're dealing with Satan.
Uh-huh.
And most people would sit there and argue with you, no, I'm not dealing with Satan, I'm just, no. It is what it is. You can argue
mm-hmm.
your face turn blue. Either you're following God
mm-hmm.
or you're following Satan, and that's basically the bottom line. Either you're dealing with the prince of darkness or you're dealing with the prince of light.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
Understand what it is you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep, good point. And one of those things, something that you said, when you said either you serve a Satan or you serve in Christ. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 11. And this is something that we have to watch out for. If we really trying to get right with the Lord, we have to watch out for this. 2 Corinthians 11. Good. I'm going to start at 14.
Real quick,
yeah.
Is the volume on your phone? Is the volume on your cell phone high, or is it?
Yeah, it's up. It's up high as it can go, bro. You want need me to talk louder?
No, just turn it down. Turn the volume down a little. Maybe that'll help the vibration.
Okay. All right. Is that better?
All right. Well, if it doesn't. It's sound all right. Go ahead. I didn't really hear it, but the people in the chat room, brothers and sisters in the chat room, heard vibrating, heard an echo.
Yeah.
But
I thought it was an echo or something there when I first started, but I thought it was okay.
Yeah, I couldn't hear it, but brothers and sisters saying they're hearing it. But anyway, let's continue. We ain't got that much left anyway. You got like five
okay.
down to 6 minutes.
Okay. You had said that either we're serving Satan or we're serving Christ. So if we really want to get an understanding of how to live according to his word, we have to understand this one thing. 2 Corinthians 11, starting at 14. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Well, so he can what? Look righteous. He can... What he can present an idea to you, and it'll be so right, but it's so wrong.
Exactly.
Verse 15. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. So the people that serve him, they can look righteous as well. But they're really not righteous, and their result and the consequences that they bring upon themselves are going to be according to their works, because just like it says in the scripture you mentioned, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, right at the end, verses 13 and 14, it says how, you know what, he's going to come and judge and give every man according to as his works are. So if we're being wicked, hey, we're going to get the judgment for being wicked. And if we're righteous, we're going to get the blessing for being righteous. But we have to watch out and make sure that we are not following someone who is evil. Just like in 2 Timothy 3 and 2 Timothy 4, where it talks about how, you know, we think or we turn it away from the words of Christ and going into somebody that we choose or pick to be righteous. You know, we gave several examples about that. So that's something we have to be careful of. Also, let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. And I'm going to start at 17. Is there still an echo there, or is everything okay?
I'm hearing it sounds better.
Okay. Okay. Go to Ephesians 4, start at 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their minds, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. So what that's saying is that, listen, you know, we can't continue on as the rest of the world.
Exactly.
We cannot continue on as the rest of the world because the things, what did Psalms 33 say? The counsel and the inventions of the heathen and, you know, it's going to come to naught. It's vanity. It's vanity. So we can't have vanity in our minds. Oh, well, you know what? I'm going to go get this little white rocky substance, and I'm going to go over here, and I'm going to post up on this block, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to get paid. No, that is vanity. And the results and consequences of that, maybe not right at first, overall consequences for that is death. Because you look at everybody that does that is either messed up mentally, physically, in jail, or dead. You know, you look at that guy, they made a movie about him. The guy was importing drugs and stuff from Vietnam during the Vietnam War. And he had all this stuff, and right now today he's in a wheelchair, hands, feet all messed up, hands all curled up, you know, can't even hold a glass of water. Oh, man, yeah, I got this, I did that, I'll do it again. Really? Really? Are you sure? He basically doesn't have an existence because the Most High gave him, or he brought upon himself different consequences, and he spent time in jail for that, but he brought upon himself consequences for his actions that the Most High said, that's what usually happens to people that do this stuff, you know. So we can't live according to those ways of the Gentiles. So in verse 18 of Ephesians 4, it says, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. What's the life of God? The life of God is contained in the words and the instructions, the commandments of Christ. That is the life of God. That is why Christ was sent here, to give us that clear, crystal clear, perfect understanding of how to live, and that perfect example of how to live, the life that God will find acceptable in that day when he sends Christ back to get all those that truly obey. All right? But if you're living in the vanity of your mind, you're going to be alienated from that. Your understanding is darkened because you're only thinking of evil thoughts like Christmas, Easter. And it doesn't seem, you know, average Joe on the street that's evil. But the word of the Lord says that it is. Okay? So if we're going to be ignorant, we're just going to be ignorant. But if we really want to make it through what the world is coming to, we can't be ignorant. All right? So I'm going to read verse 18 again. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. So they don't want to see. who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, because Christ ain't about that. The way to survive what the world is coming through is not about going into whatever pleases you. That's not it. The way to get through what the world is coming to is living according to what pleases God. All right? Did you have something, bro?
Yeah, I just want to say quickly, that's a heavy point there where it talks about working all uncleanness with greediness.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of tickles me a little, because it shows you that when people are in their sins, man, they just, that lust just grows stronger and stronger and more passionate. That's that greediness where you can't get enough of it.
Yeah.
You know, you just get enough of it. And by the way, brother, I want to tell you, the show was for an hour and a half, so we went past the, I know the chat room is closed.
Oh, it is? Oh, okay,
yeah,
bro, I thought it was a 2 hour show.
Nah, it's an hour and a half.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry, bro. So are we still on the air?
Thank you, brother. That was on me. I believe the chat room is off. They can't hear it. It went to another show. It went to the, if anybody's still there, it went to another some other show. But
okay.